The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on a pleasant June morning. It's June 27th, a Thursday morning. Thanks for being here with us this morning. We are live and local here in our WTBR studio, and we've got a great show coming up. If you like history, we're going to be speaking with Joe Derwin, a local historian, author, and walking tour guide, many other things that Joe does, just a ton of stuff, and local history, and kind of the other side of truth, let's say. all kinds of good stuff we're going to be talking to Joe about. Always enjoy our conversations. First, let's go to our weather forecast today and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us for the next 36 hours or so. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Near steady temperature around 60. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear. Cooler with lows in the mid 40s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, diminishing to 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour after midnight. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and it looks like we missed some of those heavier thunderstorms last night. We were spared that. It looked like they went south of us, and some of the Hamden County and the maybe northern Connecticut area got hit pretty hard with some of that from what I saw, but we missed it. It's nice to miss it every once in a while. We've got some nice weather coming up and some pretty ordinary average summer weather. I think we're all looking forward to next Thursday, the 4th of July, of course, with everyone's cookouts and plans and the 4th of July parade here in Pittsfield. So we're hoping that we get at least a nice morning for that. We're always looking forward to good weather on the 4th of July. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. Joining me in the studio this morning, Joe Derwin. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here, as always. And thanks for joining us so early. I'm the morning radio guy that doesn't really like mornings too much, so I sympathize with anyone who doesn't like to get up that early, but we definitely appreciate our listening audience, you know, tuning in for various interesting shows here in the morning. For folks that don't know, Joe Derwin runs a few things related to local history. One's called The Home Historian. Tell us what you do with that, Joe.
Yeah, basically my business provides local history research, property research for homeowners, commercial properties, organizations, municipalities. I'll do land research, things like that. So basically just fleshing out the histories of different places around all around the Berkshires and a little surrounding area.
So sometimes those places are old houses, right? Sometimes they're just land. Tell us about that. What kinds of things do you uncover in situations like that?
Oh, God. I mean, it feels like everything. Just, you know, huge amounts of perspective-changing information for me. That's it's changed how I relate to the Berkshires and understand where we live. But I've found, you know, in homes, I've found everything from murders, suicides, weddings, lots of home weddings. And so I feel nice when I can give that to people.
So basically people are looking to, they might have owned a house for a while and they're wondering what happened in this house before I got here. And if the house is 100 plus years old, there's likely a story that you're going to uncover there, right?
Yeah, people want to know. I mean, there's not a lot of information that you can really just Google about your house. Some of what's, you know, listed First of all the assessor's listing stuff, the dates are about half of these homes are way off.
Now, why is that, you think? Because you would think those official records would be pretty close.
They're guesses. Huh. Nobody kept assessor's records for property taxes and things like that and the age of your home until way into the 20th century.
Interesting.
So if you've got a newer home, if you've got a home that was built in the 70s, that date's probably accurate.
Yeah.
You know, but if it was before, if you go into, like, you know, look on Zillow, sometimes at homes in Pittsfield, half of them just say 1900.
Right.
It's just a placeholder
all over
date.
The map, right? Yeah.
And you know, I've done houses, about half the houses I do are incorrectly dated by either, you know, from a few years to decades, sometimes, you know, sometimes 40, 50 years off.
Wow.
So especially with some of the older houses, because sometimes they'll be off, you know, it'll be listed older than it really is. Mm-hmm. It's an 1830s house that's listed 1780 because somebody thought it looked kind of federal style.
Yeah.
So
what's the oldest age house or property that you've looked at, somewhere in the range of what?
Back to the pretty much almost the beginning, 1760s.
No kidding.
You know, there's some homes. There's a few homes in some of towns like Lanesboro and some South County towns that are back to, you know, the 1760s, and haven't gone much earlier than that. It's hard to go kind of the couple of houses that we have from earlier 1700s are pretty well known, and like Mission House, they have their own historical archives.
And they've been preserved to a certain extent, right? Where there are probably a lot of other houses that just met a different fate. After a while, someone said, well, we can't maintain this anymore at some point in its history, and it was leveled and something else was built, right?
Yeah, especially in the cities, you know, North Adams and Pittsfield, you know, there's been a ton of turnover of property, more so than places like Lanesboro.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting, because how well preserved is some of the history? And like in a place like Lanesboro, where do you even find that? Where do you find that information?
A lot of there's some great town histories that have been written on Lanesboro, some books. There's a lot of other resources at the Athenaeum between the vertical files, all the old newspapers on microfilm, and some online. You know, you've got your deeds, your censuses, town annual reports. It really depends on the property and what you're looking for and who the people that lived there were. So that's kind of where I start, is like, who, and then I'll do like what, how, you know.
But I would imagine it's a good amount of digging that you're doing, not only for the sort of obvious things that you might look for, but then some of the other odd stories that come out of some of these archaeological digs, shall we say, right, come from news reports. If you're talking about something extraordinary enough to have made it into a newspaper, and then somehow you can locate that to that particular property. How do things like, is it just serendipity? Does it come, you know, that way? And you just say, huh, how about that? Do you sort of tuck that into the back of your brain and say, okay, I'm going to remember that for the next time I'm looking at this property or whatever?
A little of both. I mean, I think I try to estimate as well as I can going. And when I get an inquiry, I'll usually do like kind of a free half hour, you know, look at the surface and see what I'm getting into, look at the age, the location, and if there's, like, you know, any big red flags, things. I mean, chances are, all the years I've been writing these mysterious hills and stuff in, you know, different forms, if there's a big, really big tragedy or a terrible murder or an unsolved, like, I probably already know your house, so as soon as you email them, I'm gonna be like, how much do you want to know? But, you know, I want to find out kind of how long it's going to take. I quote every job individually a price. There's no kind of set rate. So it's just, I'm looking at how many hours am I realistically going to spend? And sometimes I'm way off. I mean, sometimes, but that doesn't affect the client. You know, I quote you a price, I give it for that price, even if I spend an extra 10 or 12 hours going down a terrible rabbit hole.
Which can happen, right?
Absolutely happens.
And do some folks not want to know the whole story? I would imagine once they know there's a story involved with their property or their house, they probably want to know more, right?
Most people want to know just about everything. If there's something particularly triggering, I will kind of reach out to the clients. It's pretty rare, but I'll reach out and say, like, how would you like information of a certain nature handled?
Yeah, without naming names or properties, give us a couple of interesting tidbits of stories that you've come up with, something that is a highlight for you.
I'm really big, you know, people think I'm into the murders and stuff, but that's just because, you know, there's been a lot of misdeeds, but I really like good food stories. Hmm. And some of my favorite cases have been buildings where I found very unique cuisine stories, like the flat-sided toasted hot dog bun was probably invented in the Berkshires.
Really?
In a place in Lanesboro that's was a home, and then it was a restaurant, and now it's a salon. So,
a flat-sided toasted
Yeah, you know, the New England style, they call them New England style hot dog buns. And that probably started during the sort of beginning of the hot dog craze in the Berkshires, because it was a huge, in the 20s and 30s, people were got really into, we had a lot of German immigration. We had a whole wave of German immigration over the late 19th century. And you have places like Worley, the Worley's family, and all these. So hot dogs were like this big craze. And people were just, you know, going to these roadside hot dog places. And one of them was in Lanesboro, and they seemed to have pioneered and that's been attributed to another restaurant in most mainstream sources, so that's something that's kind of like we're correcting, you know. It's like the baseball thing with Pittsfield. It's like maybe we're finding new information here.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And you know, what about famous people or otherwise people that we didn't know were associated with Pittsfield or Berkshire County, and suddenly it comes across as, oh yeah, no, that person, you know, had a connection here. You get that?
Yeah. There's some great properties like that. There was a house I did in Williamstown that had just, it belonged to somebody who was a clerk of the college, and it turned out on one afternoon shortly after World War I, some of the greatest diplomatic minds of Europe all happened to be in their parlor. It was, you know, all the big names from the Treaty of Versailles were there.
Wow.
And they were just there for a guest recital as part of a bigger program of this political institute happening at Williams College that week. So there's, you know, Williamstown has had some very remarkable international figures. That it's hosted, you know, because of the college. So there's surprising history there. I was looking at a place in Lanesboro where Jack London, the author, was about to spend Thanksgiving right before he died suddenly. So that was something I had never known or heard about.
Yeah. Sounds like it's kind of well distributed too across all the regions of the county. So you mentioned North County and Williamstown, and there's some interesting history there. Obviously, people in Pittsfield are, you know, curious about what's happened to the county seat, which wasn't always the county seat, right? It was Lenox at one point. And then South County obviously has some very rich history, I think, with the Stockbridge area and, you know, Great Barrington, certainly Lenox. What are some of the stories that that piqued your interest in those areas?
There was a house in Lee that I did that, a baroness who gave up her title to marry some guy. They lived this controversial, scandalous marriage, and they lived there for a little while. But you know, generally it's not it's not like the celebrity appearances that tend to be the most interesting. I really like to do. And one of the reasons I kind of got into doing more like mainstream average homes as opposed to the historical consultants that like to do like the Ventford Halls and stuff like that is I feel like those stories have been very well covered.
Right.
You know, the big estates. And even if it's a new one, it's going to be of the same kind of, it's just a lot of the same rehash of, you can watch the Gilded Age and get that.
And they've also got people sort of telling those stories, right? Those are well ensconced in the property or in the need to tell that story when people visit and whatever, right? Where there are lots of other smaller properties that have history that won't necessarily be uncovered and overturned unless someone specifically wants to look at it or uncover it, because probably sometimes there were things that happened on those properties that people wanted to forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? There's waves of kind of changes to neighborhoods too, where you know, repopulation. Pittsfield's West Side is one of my favorite places in the whole county to work, because you have some really rich older mid to late 1800s properties that have been through the different kind of transformative waves. You know, I did a house that was like, it was like every wave of immigration that Pittsfield kind of had. It was the, you know, the Irish to German and Russian Jewish, and then, you know, Greek, Chinese, you know, all these kind of amazing, to, you know, the Polish and Ukrainian and Italian, just in succession, the way it and a lot of, you know, a lot of neighborhoods went through that kind of change of their culture. And because of that rich immigration history, there was so much kind of heat and interest. Like, you know, people had side hustles, and they had, you know, big families and loud Christmases and, you know, liquor raids and just really like, you know, life, a lot of life.
Yeah. And that's the key, right, to history. It's not so much that it's buried in the past, but it was the life that people lived. People just like us in a lot of ways. So you can almost imagine yourself during that time and say, if that was my reality, how would my life have been lived, right? I mean, that's what brings it alive in some ways. And some of the facts that you dig up and uncover bring that back to life for some people too. We're talking today with Joe Derwin, the local historian, author, author of These Mysterious Hills, which you can see published occasionally in the Berkshire Eagle, right? And also many Facebook posts. There's a Facebook group called These Mysterious Hills, which is always interesting read. You had mentioned the Chinese population on the West Side, and I think you had an article recently about Chinese laundries.
Yeah.
Being a big thing, and some of that was from the immigration. And there was a lot of persecution along with that too, right? That's the other, there's always another side, kind of a darker side to some of this history. Talk about that a little bit.
That one was one of that kind of raised my eyebrows as I was stumbling into it. I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, well, that's weird. And then I kind of started to pan back and get the context. But it was essentially, there was this huge boom in the 1910s, kind of starting back to the late 1800s. There's a wave of Chinese immigration from the West that I think in some ways has been underrepresented in census records, because I'm finding news reports that kind of don't match up with the census numbers. They're actually like talking about much larger groups of people than are recorded. But there was, you know, dozens of these Chinese laundries in Pittsfield at one point. It was one of the most dense concentrations of them. And
did that follow a cultural pattern also, where people who were coming up in society no longer wanted to do their own laundry or something? And what was the cultural part of that, in addition to, let's say, the immigration and the you know, the influx of that particular demographic, and then sort of integration into American society?
Well, I think it started kind of out west with the gold rush and a lack of female residents, and it sort of all of a sudden, men kind of had, some men were going to have to do the laundry. And this was like new to, you know, both for white Americans and for Chinese immigrants coming over. In both cultures, it was kind of like women did laundry. But there weren't, you know, there was one woman for every 20 men in some of these towns. So it had to happen. So this was an opportunity. This was a niche that immigrants who couldn't maybe get employment in gold mines, things like that, they could do this. And so they had, you know, they came up with their own methods, and this kind of booming business grew. And it really, you know, as it moved east, it was kind of like a new novelty of kind of like, this is a cheaper really only people with servants had had laundry done for them before. Yeah. Hmm. So this was like a new, I can have laundry done for me. It was like, it became a kind of a big craze. And eventually, you know, other demographics started to get into it. And that's really when you start to see them forming these, what they call them unions, mm-hmm. even though they didn't operate as we would understand unions. They were like these associations to basically try to get people to boycott the Chinese laundries and go to the white-owned laundries. Mm. And that, it didn't, you know, just trying boycotts didn't really get very far. So, you know, around in the about 1913, this bigger, stronger association called the Berkshire Laundrymen's Association started up. And they are really pounding the table about, and they have news coverage that reveals some pretty racist language being used, and they're getting speakers in from Boston, from the Massachusetts Laundrymen's Association, who declares Pittsfield the most degenerate city for Chinese laundries in the whole country. And then a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden, the first narcotics raid in 25 years happens at a Chinese laundry. And then a couple of days later, the second one in you know, and essentially, you know, the first 36 people ever arrested for narcotics in the Berkshires are all people working at or associated with Chinese laundries. They're all Chinese Americans in this laundry network.
And so they were targeted, obviously, right? That was it was more about economics and about business, and it was, they basically pulled in the racial stuff and said, okay, you know, we're going to clean this up, so to speak, with the narcotics.
That's what the record seems to pretty clearly show.
And again, not a proud moment for our area, right? And unfortunately, that is what history does sometimes. It makes you uncomfortable.